If you have your Bibles, we are going to be in the book of Psalms this morning. We're going to go through the whole book. No, we're not. He's back. Only Psalm 119. No. Now, that's the longest one in the Bibles. No, we're not doing that either. If you have your Bibles, it's Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. And anyways, I just always count it a privilege to be able to be here and be able to open up the Word. I've titled this morning's topical teaching, The Characteristics of a Successful Believer. The Characteristics of a Successful Believer. You know, in today's world, we look out and we say, why is that guy so successful? In earthly means, we can look at somebody's wealth. Oh, we can look at somebody's power. We can look at somebody's position in life, their prestige, maybe even what they do for a living. We can look at those, and those are all indicators of worldly success. Measuring our spiritual success is a little bit difficult. A little bit more difficult because there's little tangible, visible evidence a lot of times, which we can put our hands on and prove that we're that successful, living that successful Christian life. Because generally for the believer, Christian success, spiritual success, excuse me, is more internal than it is external. There's a small amount of external evidence a lot of times, but it's what is produced by this internal inside us. That's why it's difficult sometimes for us as believers who live in this materialistic world that we live in, this world that we live in that we walk through every day. It's hard for us sometimes to gauge how successful we are in our walk with Jesus. And that's what I want to look at with this psalm this morning, because this Psalm 1 is really the door into the whole book of Psalms. It's only 6 verses long, but there's so much in it for us to look at this morning to see where are we in our Christian life? How are we doing? The characteristics of a successful believer. Follow along as I read in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. You could circle that word blessed if you have your own Bible. You could write, oh, how happy. Oh, how happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be planted like a tree, planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In verse number 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of his sinners, nor sits in the seat of his scornful. What is the path of a successful believer? We have to look at that first. That's where we need to start this morning. You see, this path, the successful believer, is separated in his walk of life. The successful believer doesn't believe like the ungodly. He doesn't listen to their counsel. He doesn't take the invitations to evil. He is tuning his hearing. Our hearing should be tuned a little bit higher. Is your hearing tuned just a little bit higher this morning than those, the ungodly, that we walk around each and every day? We don't believe like the ungodly. You see, we shouldn't behave like the ungodly. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it this way. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. You know, some of us have that strong BC before Christ testimony. I don't personally have that. I became a Christian at a very young age. At the age of 7, my sister led me to the Lord. I don't have that big before Christ testimony, but some people do. I know Pastor Ken has that testimony. I know a lot of you do have that testimony. But you see, we behaved with that before Christian testimony like the world, like the ungodly, and we're called not to do that anymore. The old person has been put away, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. So we're not to believe like the ungodly. We're not to behave like the ungodly. And number 3, we don't belong to the ungodly. We should feel out of place. Where are we hanging out? I can remember when I worked for corporate America years ago, I would get to go on trips out of town, go to conventions, and we would always go as a group. And the group would always go out at night. You know, it was after you worked hard at the trade show all day, was let's go out at night and party. I didn't go. And I'm sure they laughed at me. I'm sure they said, oh, that Ron, he's a stick in the mud. He just wants to sit in his hotel room. But you see, I didn't feel right going out and behaving that way. Do we do that? Where are we hanging out? Where are we each and every day? Now, we are to walk in the world. Yes, we are to be in the world. We're to be testimonies for the world. But it doesn't mean that we belong to the world, that we belong to the ungodly. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says it this for, therefore, come out from among your unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. That can't be any clearer. Come out from among the unbelievers. Now again, each one of us, in our world that we live, I live in the construction world. If you want to be amongst a bunch of unbelievers, get into the construction business. It's difficult. But I can tell you this, the people that we work around know what our beliefs are. Do I hit them over the head with a Bible? No. But they know what our beliefs are, my son and I. Do the people that you work with, or the people that you're around, do they know what your beliefs are? Do they know where you stand? The path of a successful believer. The successful believer realizes there's a vast difference between himself and the world. We are saved out of that, and we are supposed to live accordingly. That's what verse number 1 says. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where are you walking this morning? Verse number 2 talks about what is the pleasure of the successful believer. Verse number 2, it says, but his delight, what? Is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You see, the successful believer is genuinely and completely in love with the Word of God. Are you in love with the Word of God this morning? That's a challenge that I'm going to give you this morning. We are in day number 9 of 2022. Are you in love with the Word of God this year? Will you take that time to get into the Word, to read the Word, to study the Word, to meditate on the Word, to pray through the Word? Will you take that time in 2022? The Word has to capture our full attention. We know that the Word is not a book of fables or myths or legends. We know that the very Word of God, it's God-breathed. It's infallible and absolutely perfect. Do we believe that? That's step number 1. We need to believe that because that's what the Word says. It's perfect, We need to love it, and we need to live it. It needs to be the manual for our life. How many of us have ever read through the complete car manual that we have in our glove box? If you have, you're a little weird. When do we pull the car manual out? I know when I do, and it's when I see something on the dashboard, I call my wife, I get my wife, hey, open up that book over there and tell me what that means. And it's usually not good. Are we only pulling out our manual, our Bible, when times get tough? That's our manual for life. It shouldn't be stuffed in some drawer. We should be in that book each and every day. Because let's look at what the value of the word is. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of verses, and you can write them down and you can go back later. Because the word, the Holy Scriptures, the Scriptures have so much in them. And I just want to point out a few of them this morning. As it relates to verse number 2 in Psalms 1, remember it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and what? And in his law, what does he do? He meditates day and night. Are we meditating day and night on the word? Number 1, the value of the word, it's food. Matthew 4:4, but Jesus told him, know the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Is it food for your soul today? Is it food for your soul tonight? Is it food for your soul tomorrow? It's also milk for the baby. 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of what? Of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. If you're a new believer, if you're listening online this morning, are you a new believer? Are you crying out for that milk? That milk of nourishment? Are you in the Word? You see that? The Word gives every baby Christian everything that we need to grow up strong and healthy. To be prepared and to serve Jesus. We're puppy sitting this weekend for my daughter and son-in-law. 17-week-old golden retriever. You can put two and two together. Driving me crazy. They're up in Orlando this weekend, just about done with the marathon. They've just about run 26 miles. I have no idea where my daughter ever got that nonsense from. But they were almost done. I just checked my phone. We could log in and see where they're at. I think they were at about 22 miles. 26 miles to run. Why? There's cars and bicycles available, you know? But anyways, the reason I brought that up was because that little puppy needs nourishment. And he's growing and getting bigger and more rambunctious, if that's possible. But you see, he's craving that food. Are we craving the food that we have that's in the Word? It's milk for the baby. But it's also meat for the growing. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Are you teaching others? If you're a seasoned Christian, do you have that ability to teach others, to share with others when people come to you with their troubles and their woes? Are you able to pray for them and share with them? Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food. Catch this. Solid food is for those who are mature and through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Do you have that skill? Do you have that skill to recognize right from wrong? You know, as I went in corporate America, when I went away, I knew it would be wrong to go out with those guys at night because I knew where they were going. You see, the Word provides everything we need to make us strong in the Lord. Are you in the Word? Oh, we have so many other ways that we can be strong in the Lord and grow in the Lord. We have Bible studies on Wednesday night. There's a home Bible study that's going to go on starting in a couple weeks at Henry and Martha's house. And we can go and we can get educated on prophecy. There's prayer groups that meet here every Sunday morning. Did you know there's a group of people praying for you right now? Right now, as we sit in this sanctuary, there's somebody praying for you right now from that prayer group. They meet it early in the morning in the fellowship hall to pray for our church. There's prayer groups. There's our regular Sunday services, Wednesday services. There's personal devotion and prayer time. Just like there's the daily bread back there. Are you using a devotional book on a daily basis? Are you in the Word? There's Christian books that you can read. There's a radio station that you can listen to. So many good teachers. Are you getting stronger? Are you growing? Are you having that meat for growing in the Word? There's bread. John 6:51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Bread is that staple food around the world. And no matter wherever you go, people need that bread. Are you getting the bread from the Word? Are you being fed? It's also honey for those in need. Psalm 19:10, they are more desirable than gold. Even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. You see, nothing has the power to encourage as a word from God. Nothing. Look at all the ways that the Word gives us the nourishment that we need each and every day. Each and every day, we can get the nourishment that we need right from the Word. But you see, it's also light. This is one of my favorite verses, Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That is such an important verse that we need to memorize, that we need to think about, that we need to just go to every day, because as that path gets crooked, as we're walking down the path, that walking light, it gives us where we step, where we go, and as we continue on. But you see, it's also a light for the path, because that path may go this way, and it might go that way, and it might go straight. We don't know. The Lord knows where our path is going to go, and He takes us. But He gives us that light. Oh, we may not see the end of the path. You know, it's just like Pastor Ken often uses the example about a parade. We can only see what's right in front of us. What's coming is hidden, and then what's going after it's gone by is hidden. We only see what's right there, but that's the way this verse is telling us. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet. Are you in the Word every day to guide your feet? The Word is also truth. John 17:17, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. We need to hang on to that, because we're going through some difficult times now in this world. If you haven't noticed, it's difficult out there. You know, I often think what it was like in Noah's day before the flood. Said it was extremely evil. And it seems to me that we're right there right now. But we can hold on to the fact that His word is truth. But it's also a mirror. I love this one. James 1, 23 through 25. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, that's key. If you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, when I get up in the morning and I look at the mirror, the last thing I want to do is keep glancing at that mirror. I want to walk away. It's not a pretty sight. But you see, that's what it says here. If you look at that mirror and you just walk away, it's like listening to the word, but you're not obeying the word. Are you listening to the Word? Are you in the Word and obeying what the Word says? You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. When you read the word, are you holding on to it in your heart? As you go through the day, oh, I would challenge you to have that personal devotional time, that prayer time, before you step out in the morning. Somehow commit to that this year, that you'll have that personal prayer time, that personal time of devotion in the morning before you get up and leave, before you get up and get busy. Are you having that time with the Lord, walking close to Him? I hope so. It's water. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. For husband, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Are you being washed by God's word? You see, God's word also cleanses. It tells us in Ephesians 5, 26, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Have you been washed and cleansed? Oh, if you're listening this morning on the internet, or if you're here this morning and you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you that time at the end of the service to do that. But have you been washed and cleansed by the word? Because if you have and time is short, we need to do that. You need to do that this morning. You need to give your life to Jesus and walk with Him. You see, the word also quenches and it refreshes. John 4, 13 and 14. Jesus replies, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Does the word give you that bubbling spring inside you? Are you bubbling as you go out? I know it's difficult and it's hard. Drive on I-95 and see if you have a bubbling spirit. Go through the checkout counter at Publix when you've got four items and the person has 20 items in front of you in the 10 item or less line. Are you bubbling inside? But you see, that's what we're called to be, bubbling inside as the word quenches and the word refreshes us. The word is also a seed. 1 Peter 1:23, you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. A new life that will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. Are you excited about that? Are you excited about eternity? I'm excited about eternity. I pray all the time that the Lord will come and harpazo us and rapture us all out of here. I hope you are too. Are you ready for eternity? Are you ready to spend eternity with Jesus Christ? Are you longing for that? That's that seed that's in us. The word is also a sword. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. Did you catch that? The word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. And what does it do? It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. As you read the word, as you get into the word, as you're studying the word, is it revealing your most innermost thoughts and desires? I hope it is. Because you see, that's where our direction for life comes from. It was many years ago that I was going to go into business with two other gentlemen. We were going to start a business, and the business was going to be up in the middle of the state. We were going to have to move. We were going to be in the manufacturing business of, it doesn't matter, but a manufacturing business. And I was really excited about it. It was going to be a great opportunity. It was going to be something new and fresh. And I was really excited about it. And I just happened to call my sister, the ex-missionary. Boy, was that the wrong thing to do. First question out of her mouth was, hey, are those two guys Christians? Are they believers? I had to say no. She didn't say anything more at that time, but I knew what she meant. I didn't go into business with them. But you see, being in the Word exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Are our innermost thoughts and desires being driven by the Word of God? Because if they're not, we need to step back and see why. Ephesians 6:17 says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Are you holding on to that sword of the Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit in your life? Is the Holy Spirit directing your life? Is the Holy Spirit driving your life? The Word of God is also a hammer. Jeremiah 23:29. Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? The Word of God is powerful. It's that greatest tool that we ever will have, the Word of God. And if you're not taking advantage of it, you're really missing out on the blessings that the Lord wants to pour out on your life. The Word of God can build us up. Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. The Word of God builds us up, but it can also tear us down. Revelations 2:16, repent of your sins or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword in my mouth. Is the Word building you up, or is it tearing you down a little bit? Maybe you got stuff in your life that you need to come to the Lord about and say, Lord, I'm not doing this right. You need to come to Him and ask Jesus for direction. The Word of God is like a fire. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in His name, His Word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it and I can't do it. Is the Word of God in your heart? Is it like a fire trying to get out? Are you sharing the Word of God with someone else? We were over in Fort Myers last week. And we were staying at a hotel. And if you know me, I'll talk to most anybody. I just like to talk to people. My wife said I should have been a politician. Probably not, but... I just like talking to people. And we were talking to the manager of the hotel before we left, and he's a new guy. I hadn't really met him before. And we were talking, and I asked him right up front. I said, hey, you go to church? He said, yeah, I go to such and such church. I said, wow, are you a believer? He said, yeah. He says, I'm a believer. I went to such and such theological seminary in Texas. I can't remember which one, but he says, I'm a believer. Wow, we just had that real connection right there. It was like the plug getting plugged into the wall. It was such a cool thing. Now, why do I bring that up? Because the Word, I like to share and get conversations going. That Word of God, is it burning in your heart? Is it burning in your bones this morning that you want to let it out? I hope so. You see, the successful believer is in love with the Bible. He knows that in the pages of the Word, he can find whatever his soul, whatever our soul requires. It's that complete revelation of who God is to us. Do you love the Word as you should? Oh, I hope you do. Has it captured your full attention? Has the Word of God captured your full attention? See, not only do we love the Bible, are we living out the Bible daily? Has it become that standard for our faith and for our practice? I hope so. You see, every time we move, every time we make a decision, it should be against the backdrop of God's word. I've often said, it's okay to think outside the box, but don't think outside the Bible. It's okay to think outside the box, just don't think outside the Bible. And it's okay. See, that's what I was trying to do as I was going to go into business with those two guys. I was thinking outside the box, and it sounded great, but I was not thinking inside the Bible because I knew that I shouldn't be yoked with unbelievers. 2 Timothy 2:15, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. How can we explain the word of truth if we're not in it? We need to be in the word. If we're not in the word, we won't be able to explain it. Will we have all the answers? No, we won't. But it's okay, because if somebody asks you something you don't know, just say, I don't know, I'll find out. I'll get you the answer. But you know what? You're there, and you're willing to share the word when Jesus gives us that opportunity. Verse number 3, the prosperity of the successful believer. He shall be planted by, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You see, the verses in verse number 3, the words, the promises in verse number 3 are conditional. We have to live those separated lives and feed our souls on God's word. And then we can expect those things to start to happen. But we're by that river. We need to be close to the resources that Jesus has given us. You see, Israel would have related to that because it was dry in the conditions that were there. But you see, the tree planted by the river is never dry. It's never wilted. It's green. It's lush. It's beautiful. We live on a small canal. And down by the canal, there's always these bushes that grow and grow and grow. They never die. And I'm always just whacking them down because I like to look out. Because there's that water that's there for them. We have some palm trees in our backyard that have been there probably since 1960. And they just keep growing because they're pulling from that canal. They're pulling from that water. They're always lush and green. Are you by that river this morning? That tree, the life of a successful believer, stands head above all those around him. We should be seen as that person who draws from the Lord. People should know that we've been with Jesus. Acts 4:13, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And I love that story. I love Acts. And I love the fact that we're going through Acts here in our Sunday services with Pastor Ken, because Acts is one of my favorite books, because I love to see in the book of John, in the end, when Christ was crucified, we see these disciples, they're scared of their shadow. But in the book of Acts, we see Peter and we see John standing up boldly. What are they doing? Proclaiming the word of God. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who have been with Jesus. Do people recognize you? Do people recognize me as somebody who is with Jesus? You'll have to answer that one for yourself. Are we planted by that river? Are we in that area deep? Are we drawing from Jesus right there? Are we bringing forth fruit? The successful believer is a blessing to all those around them. Why? Because his fruit is plentiful. John 7:38 says, anyone who believes in me, may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Think about it as an old pasture. Out in the pasture, there's an old apple tree. And off that old apple tree, there's apples. And who feeds off of that tree? The cows. Probably people that walk by. Other animals, insects. Somebody's feeding off of that tree. Is somebody feeding off of you today? As they see you in your walk, are you providing for other people too? Is your fruit growing? Are you being fruitful in the Lord? You know, there's a season. The trees bear fruit in a season. And just as a season of fruit bearing, there are times of rest and times of growth. My wife and I have been involved in churches our whole lives. And there was a season when we ended up at Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale for a season just to rest. And then the Lord called us to Calvary Pompano. But you see, there was that season when we needed rest. And I believe there's a season every day when we need rest. And that season is when we're just on our knees praying. And a season when we're in the Word every day. Because if we're missing out on that, folks, we're going to become dry. We're going to become withered. We're not pulling from that river when we're not in the Word and praying every day. John 15, 1 through 5. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Are you hooked in this morning? Are you hooked in to the vine? Because what it says, apart from me, we can do nothing. First Corinthians 15:58 says it this way. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Are you strong? Are you immovable in your faith? As situations happen, are you strong and immovable? You see, the successful believer is consistent. As we go through those curveballs of life, those storms of life, and they're going to happen to each one of us. Our family had a little bit of a storm this week, a little bit of a curveball. But the Lord was there, and people started to pray, and God answered prayers. Are you consistent in your life when those tough times come? Do you possess the characteristics of a successful believer? In verse number 1, it says, you are blessed, you're happy. Are you the happy ones in life? When you walk into a room, do people know that there's something different about you? I hope so.